This is how our Bibles begin. And it is a most stunning panorama of creation. And so where we're going in these opening three chapters of the Bible, if you've read ahead, how many have read ahead? How many have ever read the first three chapters of the Bible? Okay, the rest of you, you have homework this week. And so grab a copy of the scriptures, and if you need a Bible, let us know. We'll get you a Bible. Have a look for yourself and see what's there. And explore the opening three chapters of the Bible. And what you'll find there by way of headings is you'll find God, the first character of the Bible, the primary character of the Bible, mentioned right off the bat, right? In the beginning, fourth word of the Bible, God. So we talked a little bit about that last week, that God is a person. He's the unseen person here. Do we see God here? Is he? Where are you? Are you out there somewhere? Yet the scriptures assume that God is and declare that right off the bat. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So this is an unfolding of the works of God. God in chapter 1, this first chapter of creation, another way of looking at it is that God is going public with himself. He's flinging things into being by saying it. It's crazy. Have you ever brought something into being by just saying it? Right now I'm thirsty. Let there be water. Maybe I just got to try a little harder. This God is bringing things into being by simply saying it. We have the revelation of God in creation here. And oh, how good it is. The refrain over and over. God saw that God looked back. And as if he's patting himself saying, attaboy, in a most holy and respectful way. That's beautiful. Look at that. That's good. So we have God. We have creation. As we get into next week and we read chapter 2, you see the scene being set. And in chapter 3, you see the fall of man. You see the rejection of God. Man rebels against God. Man sins against his Maker. And then within the third chapter, there is the first hint that God will fix it all. This is what you find in the opening three chapters of the Bible. God, creation, fall, and redemption. I'm tempted to ask you to say that with me, but I'll spare you. God, creation, fall, and redemption. It's what you find. And if you get that right and you see it in high def, vivid color, the rest of the Bible is a filling in of the details of the nature and character of God, of the beauty of what he has created, how mankind, you, me, all of us, have rejected God as God. I want to be God. You want to be God, don't you? You want it, like Frank Sinatra said, what? My way. And that is a direct affront to God, because he is God, and I am not. Do I come under his rule and his reign? Is my life a reflection of him in his character, in his ways? I fall so far short, and I need fixing. God, beautiful creation, mankind blows it all, and then God comes to the rescue. And basically, that's what you find us looking to do at this conference in October, is just to hit these themes over again as we look at the amazing God, the root of our treasure, the amazing tragedy, the rejection of our treasure, the amazing rescuer, the recovery of our treasure, and the amazing mission, the sharing of our treasure, like Adoniram and Ann Judson did back in 1800s. And so we want to look at these themes, and we want to see from this opening chapter that God is God over all, over the universe, and how big that is. Over you and me, He is God, we are not. Over the microscopic bacteria, He is God over the killer virus. He's God over that. He uses that for His purposes and for His will. He's God in every way, shape, and form. God does what God wants to do, when God wants to do it, how God wants to do it, why God wants to do it. Because guess why? That's the privilege you get if you're God. And so we see this right off the bat. If you look closely here and you have a pencil, you may not want to do this now, but I encourage you to do it at home. Note how many references here in 25 verses to the person of God. We have 28 references in 25 verses to God. Do you think the book's trying to tell us something right off the bat? I think so, because we have God referred to 28 times in 25 verses, and we have zero reference to man. So God's winning in the first 25 verses, 28-0. It's a shutout. Sounds like a Red Sox game, doesn't it? On the Sox on the losing side. Oh, what a Wednesday that was if you're a Sox fan. Total sidebar. This book opens, and it's a book about God. All the other characters in that Bible that you read, they come and they what? Go. Adam and Eve, they're in the first couple of chapters right there, and then they're gone. Cain and Abel come, and they go. Noah comes, and then Noah's gone. Abraham comes and goes. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, David, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, even Haggai. Little old Haggai, the minor prophet. These are characters that come, they're on the stage for just a brief moment or two, and then they're gone. And then you got Peter, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, you got Saul of Tarsus. They all come, and they all what? Go. Are they any different than you and I? We come, we have a short stage time, and then we go. And we pass it off to our families and our younger ones. They have stage time, and then they go. This is a book that is primarily about God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And when you begin to read the Bible and see the Bible as a book about God, something begins to happen to your soul. It lifts you. It lifts you out of yourself. It puts you in your right place. And it's really beautiful. Here in these opening 25 verses, we see that God simply said, and it was so. And it was good. God is going public with Himself. And He is demonstrating to all the universe, angelic beings included, that He is God and He is beautiful. Oh, take a look with me and let's just glean a panorama of His beauty. God simply says, let there be light. And there's light. Interesting to me is it's not until day 4 that the sun is created. This is day 1. God says, let there be light without any sun, and there's light. Whatever that means, whatever is going on there, this is pretty heavy duty, I'd say. That He's creating, and He doesn't even need a sun yet, and He creates light. He creates the sky, the expanse. He separates waters from waters. He creates then next land. How many square miles of land do we have on this globe? Well, I just did a little Google search, and I said, I'd like to know some details here on all of these categories. You could do a Google search, too, and find out some details here that land covers 29.22% of the Earth's surface. This is about 57.5 million square miles. That's a lot of land. All right? Who likes to go for road trips? Anybody like to go for road trips? Or you just drive land hours and hours and you look at the topography of land. You say, wow, why are we all crumped up in a little city? Why don't we go out into that land and build a hut and live there off the land? I don't know. the water covers the other 70.78% of the Earth's surface. Have you ever been on a boat where you couldn't see land? Have you been on a boat and you couldn't see land? Isn't that incredible? It's everywhere you look. That's a lot of water. That's a lot of water. I mean, it's just not surface deep. At the Mariana Trench in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, it's 36,000 feet deep of water. How many cubic feet of water that is? That's breathtaking. Any scuba divers in the crowd? Anybody know a scuba diver? Anybody ever want to be a scuba diver? That's a lot of water. We're just talking about water. And when you take water, oh, please go home. Run the tap. Put it in your hand and just look at it. Pick it up and let it go. Pick it up and let it go. Just look at it. What a creation water is. You can drink it. It can clean you. I'll say that again. It can clean you. You can swim in it. Get it frozen and you can skate on it, right? You get in a boat, you can ride on it. It's an amazing creation. Multi-purpose, put it in a gun and then squirt somebody with it. It's great. It's water. God said, let the water fill the earth and gather together so dry ground can appear. This is no magician from Vegas doing this, my brothers and sisters. This is the Lord God of creation. He doesn't pull up a rabbit out of a hat. He makes real water. He makes real land. And he makes real sky. And then he begins to fill it with marvel and beauty and majesty because it's a reflection of him. Have you considered the vegetation and the plants? How many different kinds of plants are there on the earth? Oh my goodness. These aren't even real and they look beautiful. Somebody give me a real plant. There it is. Oh Lord, help us. Help us to see your majesty, your beauty, your marvelous, even in creating people who can create this. Even that's marvelous. It's a byproduct of creation because somebody created it. And you can trick people with that. He made the sun and the moon and the stars. The newest estimates gained by the Hubble Space Telescope places the estimate of 500 billion galaxies, each with about 300 billion stars for each galaxy. And God condenses it in a couple of little words, and he says, and he made the sun and the moon and the stars. Are you feeling a little humbled right now? Are you feeling the weight of this God? Because we need to feel the weight of this majesty. And the scriptures tell us in the Psalms that he knows every star by name. My mother didn't even know her 7 children by name. Hey, you. My name was Regina, Joe, Vicky, Fran, Mike, Steve, Dan. That was my name. That's just the sun, moon, and stars. The fish, an estimated 5,000 previously unknown ocean fish species, and the hundreds of thousands of other marine life forms are yet to be discovered. So that the new marine fish species being identified at an average rate of 160 per year. Scientists are finding 160 different kinds of marine creatures a year that they've never discovered before. They'll see this creature and they'll say, what's that? Well, that's an E. pluribus unum. No, it's not. I don't know what it is. It's new. Not an E. pluribus unum. That's the only Latin I could think of off the top of my head. There's land. Oh, the land animals. Who loves the zoo? Who's been to the San Diego Zoo? What's the best zoo in the world that we talk about? I don't know, but find that zoo and go on a wildlife trip down to Florida at the animal kingdom. And it's just, if you need to, go up to Benson's Wild. Oh, that's gone. But anyways, I love Benson's Wild Animal Farm. I loved that when I was a kid, right? And look at what you're looking at. Don't just be ho-hum as you go through a zoo. Stop and look at the striping on the zebra. It's amazing. It's amazing. And so proverbially, stop and smell the roses. They're aromatic, aren't they? This is a reflection of God. There are lights that light, expanse that separates, water that gathers, land that appears, veggies sprout, plants yield crops and flowers, trees bear fruit, sun, moon, and stars rule the sky in a most beautiful fashion, because God knows we need a light when we're awake, and then he dims it down a little bit and plugs in a nightlight at night so you can sleep and you can just kind of get around a little bit. How many have nightlights in their house? I got about a bazillion of them. My house is glowing. I got so many nightlights. Oh, it's just amazing. Sea creatures that swarm, birds that fly, livestock and animals that creep and do their thing. And then as we'll look next week, God creates man to reflect his maker. At least he's supposed to. Or does he? Did you know you're supposed to reflect your maker? His character? His likeness? Or do we struggle with that? I do. And I suspect you do as well. This is to proclaim that God is God, and you and I are not. God creates what he pleases, when he pleases, where he pleases, and how he pleases. He is in charge. He's very original, and he's very beautiful in his creative genius. He wanted birds to fly in the sky, not swim 30,000 feet in the ocean. And so you find birds there because that's where God wanted them, in the sky. As annoying as those morning crows can be, right? And they wake you up and drive you nuts. That's where he wanted them, right outside your door for a reason. This opening passage of the Bible tells us that God is an orderly God. He sets the stage with sky and earth and water. He sets them up first, he builds the model, and then he fills it with all the details in a most beautiful fashion. Matter of fact, he says in other passages of the Bible, I will surely bless you and make your descendants, he says to Abraham, as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as the sand on the seashore, and like the dust of the earth. See how he tells Abraham he's going to bless him according to the categories he made? Land, earth, water, sky, those categories. That's how he's going to bless Abraham like that. There's a beautiful verse in Romans chapter 1, two verses that say this. For what can be known about God is plain to people, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so that you and I are without excuse. Do you know that deep, deep, deep down in your heart, you know there's a God? You know He's your Maker. You know He has ownership of you, don't you? Deep, deep down. Well, then you try to just cover that up and suppress it. But everyone is made with the awareness and the knowledge that God is God. He made you and He owns you. In Romans 1, 19 and 20, you may want to jot that down, tells us that this is so. As we read the first chapter of Genesis, we see the obvious that God is creatively, masterfully creating the heavens and the earth. There's something hidden here to which I just want to spend a moment talking with you about. My approach to the creation account is not a scientific approach. It's not an analytical approach. It's not a comparison between creation and evolution. And do you know why? Do you know why? Because I want to look at this from a contextual approach. In other words, when this book of Genesis was written by Moses, what was he seeking to say to the children of Israel as they were coming out of the wilderness? Remember, they were in Egypt. Think back to Charlton Heston in the Ten Commandments. They were in Egypt. God brought them out through the Red Sea into the wilderness. And then God's going to bring them into a promised land that's flowing with milk and honey. In the wilderness, scholars tell us, is perhaps where the book of Genesis was written. So when you look at the context, is Moses writing Genesis 1 to substantiate a creation versus evolution debate with Charles Darwin? I don't think so. Charles Darwin's not even around. Moses is writing this to help the children of Israel understand that their God is God over all false gods, over all creation. God is God over everything. So when you think of the context in which Genesis was written, you've got to consider that this is why Moses is writing to tell people that our God is God. So when we're going into this new land, we will face enemies. We will face false gods. We will face people who are bigger than us and more powerful than us. But take heart, our God is on our side, and He will save us. Think of Genesis chapter 1 in its context, not in the modern creation-evolution debate. So consider that, and consider that hidden approach of the context of why those first five books of Moses were written. They will be tempted to be drawn away from the God of Israel to worship false gods in the new land. They'll need reminders of His matchless beauty and His ultimate salvation from their enemies. That's why we read earlier, Peter read, "To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be alike? I am matchless." And so lastly, in our impact, how does this impact us for today? Do you see God when you consider what He has made? Does seeing what He's made lift you up beyond looking at the lilies of the field to the Maker of the lilies of the field? Because that's the design. The stars at night are designed to tell you, don't stop at looking at all the stars in the sky. Look beyond them to the Maker of those stars of the sky. Do you think that? Or do you stop short at saying, oh, what a beautiful flower. It smells really pretty. And you put it back. Or does it take you where it's supposed to take you, which is back to the Maker of the flower, and say, look what He did. That's beautiful. Oh, Lord, thank You for giving me eyes where I could see yellow. Or are you blind? Are you blind to the glorious splendor of His majesty, His kingdom, Do you need to be born again with a new set of eyes to see the things of God and His kingdom? As Jesus told the religious leader of His day, Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Do you stop short? Do you just see the beauty of creation and not behold the maker of the beauty of creation? Then I would contend that you're selling yourself short and you may be blind. God is God over all, and He's come to rescue us from our enemies. He's come to rescue us from our blindness to Him. He's come to rescue us from the enemy of our sin that separates us from Him, and even the enemy of death, because many are living dead without Jesus. Do you know the power of God who is over all? Do you know that that's why we will celebrate communion, is to take away the veil? The death and the resurrection of Jesus takes away the veil so that you could see and enter into this magnificent kingdom, of which we will face forever and ever in a really short amount of time. Really short amount of time. So please think about these words. More importantly, open your Bibles, read them, and think about the words and what's being said in these beautiful and massive passages of Scripture. Shall we pray? Father, may you give weight to your words. May you bless this family of God who's gathered together on this Sunday morning. Open our eyes that we may see beautiful things from your word, and we may see beautiful things of you in what you have made. Thank you for Jesus and the cure that he brings. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you for enduring these moments.